covering the College World Series. I don't want it to be the winning one. This town, this rock, this crowd, come on, put them up, let me hear it loud. This town, this city, this crowd, stand up on your feet for your worry town. And every one of you all around, come on, y'all, let's take this town.
Three runs are gonna score.
Let's take this town.
What's going on, everybody? We are back in our old days of noon, 12:30, Friday afternoon spot that Q and I started a couple years ago now. But we're Smitty-less today, but we do have Nick. And once again, we want to remind you guys, we're brought to you by Home Field Apparel. They are dropping their Diamond Classic here coming up. And so to pay homage to that, we have a couple t-shirt designs that you can go on Home Field Apparel right now and get before the diamond packages come out. And if you use code INSIDERS20, you get 20% off your first order. If you've already ordered with them before, just create another email. I don't think they mind. Boys, how are we doing?
I love this afternoon time slot. Everybody's eating lunch. It's Friday. They're hyped up, ready for college baseball at the office. Best spot. So we got to find Smitty a new job. He's got to be this.
Yeah.
Summer's coming.
Yeah. Quit teaching those kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. There's some great matchups this week. Obviously, now in conference play, we're kind of getting where the cream are kind of rising to the top a bit, especially when you look at the major conferences, which is always a great time of year. And yeah, we've got, well, I think, 5 or 6 top 25 matchups this weekend, so it should be a great one.
All right. Well, one that was supposed to start Thursday, thankfully for the sake of the show, it doesn't start until today. Wake Forest at North Carolina. This should be a good one. Wake coming off a big series win last weekend where they just demolished Florida State in game 2 and 3. But as I pull this up here, what are your guys' thoughts on Wake? Are we buying into them hard here?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Chris Lavonis. I'd be lying to you if I did. North Carolina's kind of struggled at the plate of recent, but their pitching has been outstanding. It's kept them in games. And then Wake Forest is a little opposite. Their bats have kind of risen, even though they lost Ethan Conrad for the season, which was a big blow. They've definitely picked up the slack, and they're hitting very well. I think what matters here a lot is where this game is being played. Chapel Hill, it's not the SEC by any means, but it's definitely a rowdy crowd for ACC and any other conference comparison. It's going to be a sellout. You know, they're only a few miles apart. Like, I think this game being in Chapel Hill is going to be the difference maker. And I'll tell you what, if you can find a parlay piece, take UNC +1.5 and then parlay it. I think it's looking pretty good.
We hadn't even gotten into it yet. Q's getting called out. I love it. Todd says, Big Blue Nation in the house. Q is a hater. Smitty needs a different job. Yeah, or just Smitty could teach broadcasting and put the show on.
Yeah.
I mean, what better way to learn than just on-the-job training? Q is not a hater. He is a
realistic
non-believer.
Yes.
Of Kentucky.
Yes. And I'm not the only one.
Baseball during
the Insiders group. And, hey, you proved me wrong last year. It was great to see Wildcats at Omaha, but I don't think they're making a repeat run.
Nick, what do you make of this North Carolina Wake Forest series?
Yeah, I would probably lean Carolina 2-1 is probably how I would take it. I'm interested today. Obviously, the game got pushed. Did they get pushed back? Are they playing a doubleheader, or is it just Friday, Saturday, Sunday now?
I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay, because I'm interested. So what, like, I know we talked about it in our group, and not everybody that knows, they were sticking with Lunsford as game 2, but that was planned on being today. Today was supposed to be game 2. So until this is a stay away from me until I see maybe if, like, whether it's Lunsford going for them, because that kind of changes things. If he is, I would almost lean the under in this one. I think the last I saw, like, 12.5. I think I'd probably, if it's Lunsford, going against Jake Knapp, I'd probably lean under, but that's probably the only lean that I would have in game 1 here. But yeah, I think in the series overall, I'd probably lean Carolina. Wake looked awesome last week in Florida State. Not taking that away from them, but 2 weeks ago they got swept by Virginia Tech. So this seems like it's going to be an up and down type of team. And it's sort of, you're kind of flipping a coin on which Wake team you're getting right now.
So it looks like it's going to be Chris Lavonis in game one, which, however it lines up.
Did they say Friday, that today?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I have not seen that. But
I just wonder if they're trying to keep Lunsford on his normal schedule, which would be today.
It would make sense.
Next up, Arkansas, Georgia Tech, or Georgia, not Georgia Tech. Come on, man. Get it together. All right. So I wrote it up. If you're a Clubhouse member, you've already seen the play, but I'm on Arkansas because I do think this is the only game that they win. Razor thin margin in this one. Zach Root's been extremely good the last few weeks in his outings. I still don't trust Georgia's pitching staff. You're going to hear me say that ad nauseum all year. But Arkansas has something special going right now, and I think just the way they're swinging the bat against Georgia's lackluster pitching staff in conjunction with Zach Root and his success, Georgia struggled against lefties, and I feel like he's going to be able to put a similar stat line like I wrote up that Jared Spencer did. 11 strikeouts and then only allowed 2 hits. So I would expect Arkansas to win this. I made it a 2-unit play, -130.
I really like the Georgia +1.5. I just think both teams are going to be able to score. I love our site. It's kind of a wash. Gurley's obviously the best option they have, starting at least. And man, this is so tough. I mean, they're coming off of a series loss, you know, last week. Now you get to come home. A major series like this. If you're Georgia, I don't think you can afford to lose back-to-back series, at least mentally. Coming into this, that's how you know approach this series. You know it's going to be rowdy. You know the frat house in right field is going to be rocking, and so that'll be a sight to see. But I'm going to stay away. I like the +1.5, but I don't want to go against Matt's money line. It was just too razor thin of a margin. So I'm going to watch it. I think it's going to be enjoyable baseball. I think both teams are going to hit some bombs this weekend. Probably an overplay if you could find a line in the 14 range. So I'll defer to Nick.
What's up, Charisse? Thank you for tuning in.
Appreciate it.
Sports Data PC, go follow him if you haven't. He retweets a lot of good content. Like VMI still it leads the nation in stolen bases,
and they will like they're up by like
Henderson playing for them.
Yeah, they're up by like 40, I think, is yeah. Over who's in second.
Real quick, this is a good question. Does Texas A&M? I'm not sure what the other stuff is. Does Texas A&M make the tournament?
Yes.
Nick. We talked about this Tuesday, me and Matt did on Jeff's show. Because it depends on where you think they're going to get SEC-wise. Like, it used to be, and it depends on what the, like, committee's going to do. Because it used to be, like, if an SEC team got to 13 wins, they were in. Now you add Texas and Oklahoma, so now it's a 16 team. Does that mean they're going to kind of move the bar a little bit where it's 12? Because that can make it easier. Because you look at A&M's schedule coming up is they still have – At Arkansas, at LSU, they have Texas at home. They do have Missouri, which helps. Which they will have to sweep Mizzou. And then there's one other tough one, maybe Auburn. But they've got a very tough schedule. So they have to go over 500 in SEC play basically the rest of the way. And with that schedule, that means that you have them taking one or two at least, like they can't get swept, whether it's against Georgia, whether it's against or against LSU or Arkansas or Texas. So it's like you have to steal one of those. You have to steal one every weekend, and that's just going to be tough. So it's going to be very borderline because also their RPI is not great right now. And I know it'll rise with that schedule, but that they did no favors for themselves pre-conference.
They're last year's Florida, in my opinion.
Honestly, could be. And I still don't think Florida should have gotten last year. I know they made a run, but you can't – like 28 and 27 is such a joke.
No, like, but they're not going to they're not going to leave that lineup out. You're going to have this. If it comes down to the same, they're going to go with what they did last year and hope that A&M makes a run and proves the point.
Yeah. And they could get hot. We said this after last weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Tennessee at Ole Miss. This is going to be a tough game, I feel like, for Tennessee. I took Ole Miss plus 2.5, and I think it all is going to hinge on Hunter Elliott. His Sierra is 285. He's good. Liam Doyle is better. He is returning, him and Andrew Fisher, returning to Oxford after transferring out. If Ole Miss is going to win one, I think it's this one, even though the odds still don't really favor him. But the 2.5, I think Ole Miss can make this a tight game. What are your thoughts on this one, Q?
Good bounce back spot for the Vols. It's a good reminder last weekend, like, hey, you know, just because you're the best team doesn't mean you can't get beat on any given weekend in the SEC. And I think it's good for the season. It's good for growth. Keeping guys in check, and I think that in turn gets another series victory here. I believe it or not, I think Tennessee could sweep this. Hunter Elliott is by far the best option Ole Miss has, and then there is a considerable drop off when you're watching the games from game ones to two to three, and you don't see that with the Vols. You know, the game two guy and then whoever they decide to throw in game three is typically pretty on par or better than every other team in the country right now, who has a starting rotation, and Vols, even though they're on the road, like, they'll match the ball anywhere. And Hunter Elliott hasn't faced an offense, to me, you know, in my opinion, that was this potent. You know, he did play against Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas is as good offensively as Tennessee in a general world, the quality, but this is a whole nother ball game when you have to go, you know, Keelan, Fisher, you know, name anybody on the lineup and they can match. So I don't think Ole Miss actually gets a win in this series.
Nick?
Yeah, I like the Vols tonight. I think what is, like, I know Hunter Elliott's very good. I think what's kind of forgotten, everybody's talking about what happened in Tennessee on Saturday. They're forgetting Doyle once again do another no-hitter on Friday. And we saw how potent right now this A&M offense is. And it's like, that's still the same offense he faced Friday versus what they hit 11 home runs on Saturday. So I still trust Liam Doyle. I know they're going to say, like, oh, the Ole Miss has a scouting report on him. I think we can all agree this is not the same Liam Doyle that was at Ole Miss. He was topping out at 93 last year. He's topping out at 98 this year. Just using his pitchers way different, leading the country in fastball usage and fastball whiff rate. So this is just a completely different pitcher. I think if Ole Miss steals one, I actually hate Ole Miss with Mason Nichols on Sunday throwing against Tegan Coons. Tegan Coons looked like – I think part of the issue last Saturday, too, was Coons – and it happened with a lot of, like, high-talented freshmen where you come in and, like, you're extremely good. But then, like, these SEC teams, the scouting has gotten so great these days that now they know what they're going to be throwing. And I think that's part of what A&M just had the read on him early. So I think Tegan Coons is the one, especially if Tennessee wins today and tomorrow. It's so tough to sweep on the road, especially against a top-10 team. I think Ole Miss experienced coaching staff, like, that's a hard place to win. I don't know if Tennessee sweeps them. I think Ole Miss, if they steal one, I think it's Sunday.
The website would agree with you, which I'll get into in a little bit. Next up, we've got Louisville at NC State. NC State, again, one of those teams. They're kind of like the Kentucky of ACC. It's just like the stats never look great, but they somehow win a lot of games. I think, though, we're completely mispriced in this one. You have the second best, if you watched Jeff's show, you have the second best pitcher in the country in Patrick Forbes going. Site still likes NC State, but you can get Louisville at plus money, at even money. Look at that, Sierra. I mean, they're – Louisville has struggled at times, especially when you get into the bullpen. But I've got to believe that they're still better than NC State and they can get this win.
This is the only game that I'd probably have any conversation about. I would lean Louisville with you, but outside of that, like, you can't trust Louisville's bullpen. We saw that in multiple series. You never know what NC State team is going to show up. They could look like they're national title contenders, and then they could look – worst in the ACC, very Jekyll and Hyde. So this, if you're not playing game one, just stay away from the entire series, is my opinion. Like, it's probably going to be exciting baseball from just a viewer's point, but from a gambling, I mean, you might as well throw darts in the dark.
Yeah, I think you said it best. Like, if this is – I still am, like, scarred from that Louisville-Cal series. I think I lost all three of those games.
See, this is the problem. You can't – and I wrote this up.
I know.
The Dub Club post. You can't say, like, I'm not going to bet this team because this. There's correct. A time and a place to bet.
There, you're right.
No, and I was going.
And he missed every time and every place.
Yeah, I was going somewhere with it, but yeah. So it's still in the back of my head. But it's not like I never like completely shut anybody out. Back of my head, obviously, there's like teams I put like on notice where it's like, hey, let's like show me something first. But yeah, this Louisville team, you like, I don't know, they are confusing, like you said. And then NC State is so up and down. Like, we talk about like Duke a lot and Virginia a lot, and like who's going to show up. NC State might be the most unpredictable of all of them. Like, they are just so weird. Like, I bet on them to win with Dom Fritton on the mound last week. They got beat and then won the next two. So, I don't know. This is a weird team, weird series. Like, both of these teams are so up and down. So, yeah, this is a complete full stay away from me. So I just can't. I can't touch either of these teams right now, even though the numbers, I would probably lean Louisville, but I would want it to be, like, at a bigger number.
Matt's a brave man.
Yep.
Forbes is 7-1 in games that he started.
Did he lose to Cal? Probably.
No, they beat Cal.
They blew that one late. Remember, they were up 9-2 in like the eighth.
11-10.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It wasn't easy, but
yeah,
their only loss was at Blacksburg. They lost 4-5. So, if you believe in that trend, just take +1.5. I believe in Patrick Forbes. I'm going to go with the numbers every single time. Another team that the numbers favor, this kid named Jamie Arnold at Florida State, going up against the Virginia Tech Hokies. And I know Florida State looked like crap against Wake Forest in game two and game three, but they did win game one with Arnold on the mound. We don't know who Florida State is pitching or who Virginia Tech is pitching yet. But the site likes Florida State out to -184. What are your thoughts on this? Does Florida State bounce back?
I'll be honest. Like, I don't have the lines being in Virginia, so I'm probably not the one.
Florida State's -154. Virginia Tech's +120.
That's up because I originally saw it at 135, then or 130, then it moved to 140. Which is the
this
number I got.
A Thursday matchup, correct?
It's Friday.
Yeah. Friday. Renfro should be going. Brett Renfro.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's why I was waiting for time.
They posted it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a CBA. Yeah. I mean, Renfro, listen, if it's Jamie Arnold and Renfro,
it shortens the number a lot.
Take the under, because both guys, like, Renfro gets overshadowed a lot. He's had a hell of a season, and he's a very quality pitcher. I mean, a sub-4 ERA against some of the teams is pretty good. And if you can catch like a 12.5, take the under. I could absolutely see this being like a 6-3 game and hit.
Nick?
Yeah, it's very juiced 12 right now, -125. I'm sure there might be some books that might have a 12.5 still. I think it opened at 12.5. So I think that does scream that Renfro is probably starting. Yeah, it's Jamie Arnold hasn't been at his best this year. I think like we were projecting – that he might have an ERA in the ones, which is very tough to do in college baseball. Very few people have done it. I mean, you look at even like Skeens was in the low twos and everything. So it's very tough, but he hasn't been himself. And I know he's had some like nagging injury things. So we'll see if he's back to full healthy through. Okay. Last week, like, he wasn't great against Wake. Like, Wake still hit him a little bit. From what I remember, like
4 hits, 10 strikeouts.
Yeah, I mean, he was good, but he wasn't like he wasn't dominant. And I know Wake is a very good offense. At Virginia Tech, though, they're weird in Blacksburg. Like, they can actually, like, they can score.
Nasty weather,
too. I do like this offense. Yeah, I think, yeah, I saw that as well.
Cold rain.
Yeah, I would probably lean Florida State here. I think Florida State wins the series. I think they need a bounce back, and they're definitely a more talented team. they definitely can't lose another series after getting beat by Wake. If they want to stay in the top, I still think this is Clemson's conference to lose. I know we're not talking about them today. Still Clemson's conference to lose. But if they want to stay in the race, like with those kind of top four, they definitely need to win this series.
All right, next up, one I'm excited to talk about. It's the Kansas Jayhawks taking on TCU. -114 on the site. Do you believe in the Jayhawks? Rock, chalk, Q?
They haven't given me a reason not to believe, I'll tell you that. TCU has kind of picked it up. They started a little rough to begin the season, but Tommy Lepore's pitched well. They're beatable, though, at home. Like, they're one of the most beatable home teams of the last couple of years, in my opinion, and Kansas is riding so hot. This Kansas team, I said on Jeff's show, like, to me, they remind me of, like, the last year's Kentucky team. Like, they win close games. They walk games off. You know, they win on the road, and maybe they shouldn't, and they're just, like, vibes are so high right now. I mean, sky high, and you got to kind of ride a hot hand. And right now, it's, you know, it's Dominic Vogel and the Kansas Jayhawks. I'm not playing it per se, but if I had to lean, you put a gun to my head, I'm taking Kansas.
Nikki?
Yeah, I'm going to be probably playing Kansas. The line is moving favorably. I think there's +120s out there now. So it's always kind of that mantra of bet favorites early and underdogs late. Seems like it's heading that way. TCU, just a bigger baseball name. So, like, people who don't follow the sport closely or will be putting money on TCU. And just because they're also at home. But, yeah, we just saw Kansas went to UCF and got a sweep. That's not an easy place to play. Like, I know it's not, like, well-known for crazy crowds or anything, but they get a very good student section. The place, like, being in Orlando, like, they actually had a very good crowds all three games. Like, luckily, I was able to catch all three. Oh, love it.
The autism awareness hat. So sick.
Yeah. Yeah, and Vogel was – like, people would, like, forget. Vogel was the Big 12 pitcher of the year last year. He just went under the radar because Kansas was kind of your, like, up-and-down team. But, yeah, pitching matchup leans Kansas. Offense, I lean Kansas. I don't think they should be underdogs here. So, yeah, I'm going to wait and let this line see if it keeps moving. Like I said, +120 is the best available now. I think I saw it was, like, +112. There was, like, a +114. It's going up a bit. So I will probably wait a little bit and see if it starts moving that direction, I'll hit it because I do like it anywhere in plus money.
All right, going back to the SEC, LSU taking on Auburn. You know, I'm high on Sam Dutton, but can he do it against Cade Anderson? Coming off a, 135-pitch shutout?
Yeah.
Probably not. The LSU -190 on the side. What are your thoughts, boys?
I think it's a little high, but I do think, like, one of the higher lines to lay would be LSU today. I mean, Cade Anderson's pitched lights out. Sam Dutton is really the best option Auburn has. I just don't know if the offense for Auburn can match with Cade Anderson. Like, I feel like LSU has a better opportunity to get after Dutton in game one, and they know that. Like, they have, to me, game two and three locked up. That's not even in question. This is a one game series, in my opinion, and it's tonight. But I think LSU is just so dominant that even as Sam Dunn could have a quality performance and still give up two home runs and lose the game.
Nick?
Yeah, I'm with Q here. I would wait and see. I think this is going to balloon. I think a lot of people are going to be on LSU, especially like with parlays. What I would look at is the run line, because I think I love Sam Dutton. He's been great. And I think this Auburn team is still a little bit undervalued. Like, I was surprised they were able to win two of three against Bama last weekend. We keep kind of saying, like, when's Auburn going to turn into Auburn, like, of last year? And they really haven't. So it's like, I actually do really like this team. They're very freshman heavy, though. Ike Irish is fully healthy. They look good. So it's like, and they beat a very good Georgia Tech team on Tuesday. So they're still riding high. I don't know if I can lay that much with LSU. Like, I probably won't have them in parlays. I'm definitely not playing it straight up. Even though Cade Anderson, and I know there's a lot of talk of 135 pitches, but let's also see how he rebounds because that's not easy. I know he had an extra day rest, but, like, maybe he only goes five or six. And so I don't know. I think this is another one that could be low scoring. We talk about totals. This one's at 13 and a half.
Yeah.
With two top, probably, I would say Sam Dutton's probably in that seventh or eighth best pitcher in the SEC right now kind of ranking. I like, let's make sure the wind isn't blowing out heavy, but I don't hate that under 13 and a half.
Yeah, I'm not a huge totals better, but I may have to take a look at that.
Yeah.
We've got virtually no wind.
Yeah, calm.
9.5 miles per hour.
I mean, if Cade gives you an average performance, you've got to go at 13 and a half.
Yeah, because where do you think?
Shout out to Nick real quick for adding this. If you guys haven't hovered over this,
it's incredible.
It's all right here.
Yeah, not me. I can't take credit for it. Nick Nimmitt. He has our website. Yeah.
Put in every single park measurements, home field, their average, that HFA. It's beautiful. And it gives us more accurate stats and way to runs created and Sierra XFIP because it's all park adjusted.
Do you have it where is this just, do you just have this where it's like the screen? Can you pull up this like full match preview where it shows like the predicted score?
Yeah. So, yeah.
No, so not on here, I guess.
No. It's, no, okay, it's linked.
So separately. It just has the, okay, so this has 8 to basically 6. So it's still 14. I think that's, I don't know.
13.62, basically the, would you say the line's 13 and a half? Yeah.
But also, do we think Auburn gets to 6? Because that's saying Kate Anderson's off, and that's saying LSU's bullpen gives up, three or four?
That is based on the starting pitchers only going 5 innings, and Anderson's giving you more than that. Dutton, what's that average? 44 innings divided by 8 games, 5.5. So if you get 5 2/3 out of Dutton and his 2.74, and then you get 7 out of Anderson, that probably goes under.
Yeah, unless one of the pitchers absolutely craps the bed. Like, I don't see, like, if you're looking at, like, I wish we could do first 5 bets, but I doubt this is over. I doubt the total is over 5 or 6 in the first, like, 5 innings.
Be so, 5.5, like, right on that line.
So then you're expecting basically 8 runs to be scored in the final 4. That's, I don't know. I kind of like that under.
This next one up, I'm not sure who put this on the board, but Vanderbilt, Oklahoma. The site loves Vandy in this spot. Better in weighted runs created, 10% better. Cade Crossland now going in lieu of Kyson. Correct, Nick?
Correct. They just put Kyson back a day.
And then you've got J.D. Thompson for Vandy with a better Sierra, XFIP, all that. You guys back in Vandy -166 here, or do you think Oklahoma wins it at home?
I'm not touching this game until tomorrow and the next day when Kyson and Malachi pitch. I think they have the edge on that. I think it's you get a better offense than what Vandy faced last week. Again, I touched on it. Florida left 35 guys on base. If they score a third of those, they probably win the series against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt offense did not look overly great for the most part against Florida's pitching. And I think Oklahoma's pitching is far superior to the Gators. So at home, you know, if Kyson wakes up tomorrow and feels good and then his brother can go and finish the series, you got to feel really good about the last 2 games for Oklahoma. But I think tonight's a stay away.
Nick?
Yeah, I think Crossland's better than what his numbers say. He is their Saturday guy. So it's like they only moved him up a day. It's not like they just brought him in out of nowhere. I think this is another underlook. I know, like, we aren't huge on totals, but it's even at 11. Like, I think this is still one. Oklahoma's a big park. Like, them in Texas, like, we saw it last week, like, even against LSU. I know it was Kyson, but I still don't think this is going to be very high scoring. Hugh mentioned Vandy's offense, which I still don't trust. Been able to hit a lot of Vandy unders this year. This is one. I know it, 11 seems like a small number, but this seems like a 5-3 or like – that 5-2 type of game or 4-3. So I think this is under even at 11, but yeah, I'm staying off the sides. I do, especially like, cause now you're going to get Cody Bowker matched up with Witherspoon tomorrow. I think this is going to be an auto play for me with Oklahoma. So actually for tomorrow's bets, let's hope Vandy wins game one.
Only 6 mile per hour wins. Not going to make a difference. Sharice says Cal State, Fullerton, and Oregon State. Sweep. Let's preview that one real quick. We don't have pitchers, but it's pretty close. I know you are higher on Oregon State. I thankfully cashed that easy rocking chair winner in UC Irvine in game one. We can assume that it's going to be
Keljo
for Oregon State.
Yeah.
Let's look it up. A little live handicapping. Thanks for the comments. Thanks to all of you guys for being here, spending your lunch break with us. Probably Masters on one TV, us on the other, hopefully. I'll be honest, I don't know much about this Cal State Fullerton team. I don't see pitching.
Yeah, I didn't even look at it. I don't want to.
Fullerton's been better than last year, but you look at that, they're 17-16 with a strength of schedule still in the 200s.
Thanks, Ron. Look at you coming in the clutch.
Great. Perfect. Yeah, I think this is Oregon State all the way. I think it's a good parlay. I still think it's a good parlay piece. I don't see that. Arden, that is actually shocking to see that. But yeah, I still trust Oregon State. Like I said, I'm higher than you, Matt, maybe Q. I still think this is an Omaha team. They're finally getting healthy on offense fully. Pitching staff still kind of still. Pitching staff is what? I mean, they're 11th in Sierra in the country. Like, it's they're just so under the radar because we can't watch their games. Like, which sucks, especially last weekend with UC Irvine in town. Didn't get to watch a single pitch of it. Was very frustrating because that's a possible regional matchup. I still lean Oregon State here. I think it's a good parlay piece. I trust Oregon State to sweep this.
You can get Cal State Fullerton Titans plus 200, plus 2.5 on the run line, plus 105. That may be the better play. Take the home team plus 2.5. I could be convinced.
It's a stay away from me.
I've done less. We're going to do a quick recap of our Omaha 8, see if we want to buy or sell any teams. But first, a quick message from our friends at Home Field Apparel about their new release. We cannot wait for April 17th. Those are going to be sick. Okay. So
we got before we get into
the SEC pick'em, here were my preseason Omaha 8. And you can laugh at me now because I bought into Keys Florida Gators. A&M and Virginia, all who have completely crapped the bed. But I'm going to leave one in, maybe two. I'm going to leave in Aggies. I think they're going to figure it out and get back. I'm going to sell Florida, replace them with Georgia Tech. And I'm going to leave Virginia in too. I still think this team is very good. Other than that, I'll keep all my other ones. Clemson looks really good. Georgia, pitching is an issue, but that offense can make up for it. North Carolina, I still think they've got the pieces. They'll figure it out. Forbes, he can get back there. LSU and Arkansas are kind of the no-brainers there. I think it comes down to them two or Tennessee. If I was to replace another one, I would have to add Tennessee. But I don't know. There's something about it. I said it before the season. I didn't think A&M or Tennessee would make it back to Omaha. I had to pick one or the other. I chose wrong. Probably should have put Tennessee in my preseason over A&M, but I digress. Still don't think either of them make it to Omaha. Nick, you did have Tennessee in Omaha. Yep. Who are you buying or selling?
Yeah, I am selling Virginia. I am selling A&M. I know you weren't, but I am. And then I'm also selling Dallas Baptist. Dallas Baptist, I said it on Jeff's show. I was hoping this would be the season where we could kind of get a mid-major team in there. I just don't see it unless it's UC Irvine. Like, I know Troy's still up there in the rankings, Southern Miss. DBU's not to be slept on. Like, they can get hot. But I just don't think this is the year. So I think I have to remove them. So I will add, this is going to be so chalky, which sucks. I hate doing it.
This is the only time we're going to allow this too.
Yeah, I will actually. So I will add Texas. What surprised me, we all knew what the offense was going to be. What surprised me is the pitching staff. Top 10 pitching staff, I think it's here in the country right now. Even with their tough schedule, is very surprising. They should get a decently favorable regional, because I think they'll end up at top 8 seed. So I don't think Dallas Baptist will get sent there, which would kind of be a concern. I don't think, I don't know who else could be. Maybe like if Arizona gets sent there, or Arizona State would be in, like, could be an issue. But I still think they'll be favored in the regional. I will add LSU, as much as it pains me, because this offense is, like, the pitching staff is there. I expect Chase Shores to be better on Sundays than what he's been. I think he'll end up figuring it out. I don't think people realize how tough it is to miss an entire season and then be expected to be, like, the ace and top five pitcher in the country like he was before. I think he will eventually get there, which is a scary thought, with Kate Anderson on Fridays. Anthony Ianson still kind of quietly doing his thing, that he's the one that they'll probably least talk about in this rotation on Saturdays. And then Chase Shores will figure it out. The offense has been good enough. I don't think it's great. Like, their offense seems very top heavy. Like, it's like the top kind of five or six guys that are kind of carrying, but it's working for him so far. And then one that's kind of out there is, I will actually take UCLA. I will add UCLA in there. I think this whole team has been a surprise. Going into the Big Ten, we thought, like, the West Coast teams like Oregon, I was kind of higher on USC than I was UCLA coming into the year. But UCLA is leading the Big Ten offensively, which is the biggest shocker. I think they're right behind Oregon, actually, offensively. But still, to be in the top two, what should also help them is the West Coast is very weak. Like, outside of Oregon, Oregon State, and UC Irvine, unless I'm forgetting somebody, like, you're talking, like, the Big West is, like, who's the Cal State, Santa Barbara is not as good as anybody thought. If Hawaii makes a tournament, has to come to the mainland, they're just not the same team on the mainland. They obviously can't be put with another Big Ten team. So USC, who I think could be a tournament team, won't be put with them. So I think that's going to be, I think they will be very favorable in a regional. Now, they're ranked 11th in the country right now. RPI is, like, in, where are they RPI wise? Cause it should be, yeah, RPI is 15. So if they win the Big Ten, like, there's a chance where they're a national host. Like, they might get that 8 spot, or they'll end up like 9 and 10 or 9 or 10, which means they won't be matched up with one of those top SEC, to like top 4 or 5 SEC teams. So I think they kind of have a great route from where I'm kind of predicting them the end of the season.
All right. And Q, you're Omaha 8. Who are you swapping out?
I'm going to hold on Virginia and A&M. I'm with you, Matt. I think those two programs could turn around. But I'm going to sell the Florida Gators. They're just not, you know, playing to where I believe. Like, last year I was like, hey, I think this team could turn it around. But I don't think the Gators have that this year. They just don't have any.
Uh-oh.
We lost Q. Well,
I heard him say keep Florida in there, I think is what he said.
Yeah, he wants to keep Florida. They'll figure it out. This Missouri sweep is going to just reboost their entire team. Well, Smitty has the exact same Omaha 8 as Q. Obviously, since he's not here, he won't be able to swap his. So we'll post these with our corrections here before the weekend is over. He just lost power. I guess you're dealing with some bad storms. SEC Pick'em, we'll roll through that. Congratulations, Nick. Glad you're here because you get the crown this weekend. Missouri, Florida, South Carolina, A&M have already started. A&M and Florida both up 1-0. We gave out our picks in our group. I think Q said Florida 2-1, and then A&M 2-1. It was an A&M sweep.
I was just looking at it. I was pulling it back right now. Q has 2-1 and 3-0.
Oh, 3-0, Florida, 2-1, A&M. Smitty has Florida 3-0, 2-1, A&M. You have?
Florida 3-0, 2-1, A&M.
I picked the sweep for A&M, 3-0, 3-0, also for Florida. I'll go through my other ones real quick. I'm on Georgia 2-1, Texas 2-1, LSU 2-1, Alabama 2-1, Tennessee 2-1.
Oh, I thought you were going the other way.
And Vandy 2-1. What are yours?
I will go Arkansas 2-1. I think Georgia wins Saturday. I think Arkansas wins today and Sunday. Texas 2-1. I will go LSU 3-0. I think Auburn has to win tonight. I think LSU, like Ianson versus Fisher, huge mismatch. Chase Shores versus, I think it's what, TBD, I think right now. On Sunday for Auburn. So give me LSU 3-0 because I don't think they beat Cade Anderson. Aligned with you on Bama 2-1, Tennessee 2-1, and Vandy 2-1.
All right. Well, we will update with everybody's picks, and I'll tweet this graphic out so you guys can check it out. I guess that wraps it up. Thank you all for being here. Go watch the Masters and get ready for college baseball, the best sport alive. Until next time, we'll see you later. Thanks for tuning in.